Welcome to the Reigning in Life podcast with Pastor Mtor. Join Pastor Mtor, the esteemed founder and senior pastor of Intentional Church, as he transforms lives by the Word of God. Get ready to reign in life as you tune in and listen to the transformative teachings. Stay blessed and stay tuned.
Amen. We're reigning in life in Jesus' name. Amen. And we want to reign by faith. We're continuing our teaching series on reigning in life through faith. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have to sit at your feet today. We thank you for the revelation knowledge that's going to flow today. Our lives will never be the same again. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Please be seated in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. So today we want to continue our series on reigning in life through faith. Amen. And your life will never be the same again. Amen. Amen. Last week I began to share with you what happens when you don't have faith. Amen. And I'm not going to do a recap because it's all available on the podcast. Hallelujah. So make sure you go listen to the podcast. Make sure that you soak in the podcast and you'll be blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. So today we want to continue, and most of what I'll be teaching on, I covered in depth in my book, Building Faith That Works. Okay, it's available on Amazon. We don't have physical copies. It's available on Amazon. I think I was less than 50 rand. I just made it. If you're interested, you'll buy to build. You understand? Yes. If you're not interested, I made the price so ridiculous. It was almost free. You understand? So just make sure that you get. So what I'm just going to cover here, it's in detail here. Okay, it's in detail here. All right, and I just want to especially recognize my beautiful wife. She's here. Amen. Beautiful. All right, so today I want to continue on reigning in life through faith, and we want to focus, how do you make your faith to work, or how do you activate your faith? How do you make your faith? Well, tell your neighbor, say, if it's faith, it will work. Okay, many times people say, you know, be careful in listening to this series with that attitude of, I've heard about faith before, because the proof that you heard is results. If you don't have results, you have not heard, as you assume you have heard. So don't shake it off and say that, no, I know about faith. Show us your works. Show us your results. You understand? Show us your outcomes. Then we know that this man knows what he's talking about. Never believe someone who boasts of knowledge without the attending results. Okay? Yeah, without the attending results. If you know what you're talking about, then there's going to be proof. There's going to be results that demonstrate to everybody that you know what you are talking about. You understand? So most Christians, they've become tired of hearing about faith, you know, because they're like, no, I tried it and it didn't work. Faith is not something that we try. Faith is something that we do. And when we do faith, faith works. You know, the Bible says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the confidence that overcomes the world, even our faith. It didn't say this is the confidence that tries to overcome the world. There's no way in scripture about faith trying to do anything. Whenever faith comes, faith does. You understand? Jesus said, woman, your faith has made you well. Jesus said, your faith has tried to make you well. So we need to come out of the realm of theoretic faith, theoretic understanding of faith. You know, where we don't go deeper into these things, okay? Where we just like, I know faith. A church, they always teach about faith. No. It's not about a church, they always teach about faith. What's your understanding of faith? Okay? That's why we're starting off the year with this, because like I said last week, without faith, you can't change circumstances. Without faith, you'll be a victim of the devil. You remember that one? Where you'll be always at the mercy of the devil. And last time I checked, the devil has no mercy. You understand? So you'll be literally, Pastor, they said this. Pastor, we're dealing with this. Pastor, we're wrestling with this. No, get faith and let your faith handle the devil. Yes, and one thing I like about faith, the Bible says that faith, in Ephesians chapter 6, that take upon the shield of faith that quenches all the fiery darts of the devil. Not some. So there's no battle that faith can lose. You understand? If you were to meet the devil 10 times in a day, faith will defeat the devil 10 times in a day. You understand? There's no battle that faith is ordained to lose. There's none. There's none. Now, if you look at your life and you won some and you lost some, the ones that you lost, you are not walking by faith. You were not walking by faith. But it's not because faith was capable of losing. Faith is incapable of losing. You understand? Faith is so powerful. Whatever God can do, your faith can do. Okay, whatever God can do, your faith can do. So Jesus comes at a point and says that your faith can move mountains if you need mountains to be moved. You understand? Your faith can move mountains. And I know that as Christians, we get pictures from scripture. And they say that, no, you know, Jesus is talking about problems. But Jesus didn't say your faith can move problems. I 100% believe that faith can move mountains if mountains need to move. Did Jesus say your faith can move problems? So who then added that part to say mountains mean problem? You see, many times what I've noticed is whenever you're not measuring up to something in scripture, you create a doctrine of justification. You justify why things are not working out. All right, so the Bible says, honor the Lord with your substance and he shall fill your barns with plenty, right? And then someone's like, I tried it, but maybe last year was tough, you know, the economy. Where was it written that the economy is the determinant of that scripture? Where is it written that you'll overflow when the economy is good? Where is it written? So, Abba Zalwana, we need to come out of this thing of trying to justify what, you know, whereby, like, instead of me saying that, okay, Lord, teach me faith, we justify the gaps. And we say that, no, it must mean this, it must mean that. No, I 100% believe that Jesus meant every word he said. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, mountain be moved and cast into the sea, and the mountain will move into the sea. You understand? Yeah, he wasn't talking about a mountain of problems. Tell your neighbor, say, it's not a mountain of problems. Okay? Yeah, though it can apply there, but it's not. He was talking about literally a physical mountain can move. You understand? Yeah, literally a physical mountain can move. Okay? That's powerful. Amen. So how does faith work? How does faith work? Number one, faith must be rooted in the heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 10. For with the heart one believes. So faith must be rooted in the heart. If it's not in your heart, it's not going to work. Okay? There's what is called mental assent. Okay, mentally acknowledging. So most Christians, they are stuck in mental accent, mental acknowledgement of biblical truth. Okay, can Jesus heal?
Yes, sir.
Right, Jesus can heal, right? How many then can believe that Jesus can heal you? That's what the issue is. Many Christians can mentally confirm that God is good and God can heal. Yes. But many Christians do not believe that he can be good to them. He can heal them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not. And my God shall supply all of my needs, right?
Yes.
You believe that?
Yes,
but how many of you can stand up and say, God has supplied my needs? Now, most Christians say that, Pastor, I know God can supply all of my needs. Jireh, you are enough. I will be content in every... You can sing the songs, you can speak it out, but you are saying it from the mind, not from the heart. How many of us can stand up and say, Pastor, I know for a fact all of my needs are supplied. I have no care in the world. I have no concern in the world. So the reason why, number one, the reason why the average Christian's faith does not work is they try to believe with their mind and not their heart. And faith is of the heart, not the mind. Can I tell you something? Kenneth Hagin said, you can actually have faith in your heart with doubt in your mind. It will still work. But if you've got doubt in your mind, if you've got faith in your mind and doubt in your heart, it won't work. Have you ever been positive about something? Look, I'm getting the good news today. Look, I'm getting the good news when today. But in your heart, you were doubting, tossing and turning. Did you get the news or not? You never got it. Right? But then there are moments whereby if you had faith in your heart and you had doubt in your mind, you will always get it. Yeah. Whereby in your mind, but how will it happen? But in your heart, you're locked onto faith. It always works. It always works. So for faith to work, it must be rooted in your heart. Because faith is spiritual substance. Faith is like love. You understand? You can say you love with your mind, right? But after some time, it will be proven. If you don't love from the heart, after some time, your mind runs out of love. You see, faith is like love in that regard. Okay, so faith is of the heart. When I mean heart, I'm not talking about the physical organ that pumps blood. I'm talking about your spirit. Faith is of the spirit. Hallelujah. And when your spirit believes and you know that you believe on the inside, it doesn't matter what's happening outside. You will not be shaken. Hallelujah. You will not be shaken at all. No matter by what you see, no matter by what you hear. So tell your neighbor, say, don't believe with your mind. Believe with your heart. Okay, don't believe with your... This year, don't make the mistake of assuming faith. You assume you believe. Just because you agree with scripture doesn't mean you believe scripture. You agree that you are the head and not the tail. You agree that you are blessed going in, blessed going out. It does not mean you believe the scriptures. Believing scripture is something else. And that's where we want to get to. Because when we believe scripture, there are proofs that we believe scripture. You don't say that I believe. No, there are fruits of believing scripture. And we want to look into one of the fruits of believing scripture today. Okay? That's why it's important for you to go back to this teaching and soak this message. And soak this message of faith over and over. Listen to me. If it's faith, it produces results. If there are no results, you did not believe. It was not the devil that was strong. It was not God who maybe did not want. You know, Abba Salone, be careful of the things you have justified because of your lack of faith. Yeah. Be careful of the things you have accepted and accommodated because of your lack of faith. Because it is easy for me to say that, no, my sister was not healed because God wanted in heaven, than for me to wake up to the reality that I do not have faith as I assumed to have faith. What will your, what would God do with your sister in heaven when you need your sister now? What will God do with your mother in heaven when you need your mother here to provide for you, to take care of you? You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, what will God need with a father in heaven who leaves a child 6 years old? Now, who's going? That child now starts to struggle. And we find Abba Zalwane said that, no, God needed him in heaven. There's nothing like that. That's a lie from the pits of hell. What are you justifying to accomplish? Because you do not want to work in faith. Listen to me. Faith does not fall on your head the same way that education did not fall on your head. You must consciously go after faith. You must consciously go after faith. Don't assume. Most Christians are lazy when it comes to spiritual things. But they are diligent when it comes to losing weight, getting a degree, getting whatever. Very serious. Hard working. But when it comes to building up spiritual knowledge, they are lazy. When it comes to building up your faith, they are lazy. And they wonder, but pastor, I've been coming to church. Who said faith comes by coming to church? Show me that person. Show me that person quickly. Let's deal with that person very fast. Who said faith comes by coming to church? You understand? Do you know, can I show you the Bible? Do you know, the church guys, the people who were with Jesus, the disciples, were those who struggled with faith the most. You can be in church and you struggle with faith. Was it not Jesus who was asking them, where is your faith? Was it not Jesus who was asking? These were guys who were seeing miracles. These were guys who were seeing blind eyes. They were seeing Jesus walk on water, multiply the bread. But guess what? Where is your faith? A challenge comes and this... These guys were enjoying hanging around, not building their faith. You can be in church for 10 years and you don't have faith. And you are enjoying church anniversary, not building your faith. Yeah. Am I talking to some people? Yeah. So Jesus shows that you can be around the word. You can be around, but does not mean you have faith. He was asking, and guess what? A woman with an issue who had never attended services has faith. Has faith. You understand? A centurion has faith. You understand? All kinds of people. Jesus comes and your faith has made you well. And these were guys who were not hanging around. Don't assume you have faith because you hang around a person who has faith. Faith is not like wisdom.
You know, with wisdom, the Bible says, he who keeps company with the wise shall be wise. But faith, it never said, he who keeps company with the faithful will also have faith. You see, I love you so much, but I can't breathe for you. No. It's the same way that I can't develop your faith for you. I can show you pointers on how to develop your faith. Imagine a guy who calls your instructor at the gym, right? You have paid him money. He can only show you how the weights work. He can't do it for you.
Yes, sir.
He can't do it for you.
Yes, sir.
And you should stop becoming impressed with other people's faith and work on your faith. Tell your neighbor, say, work on your faith. Yeah. You can't be calling pastor pray. At the head of pastor pray, that pastor is gone. That's why I'm teaching. If you don't take what I'm teaching, you don't apply it, forget. You understand what I'm saying to you? Forget about it. Forget about it. With faith, you can change jobs. You can get better jobs, even if the economy is not saying.
Yeah.
With faith, you are independent of circumstances. With faith, you are independent. It's January, Pastor. For who? For who? Pastor, January is tough. For who? I didn't see in Philippians chapter 4, and my God shall supply according to February until November. Did you see it there?
No, sir.
Did you see it there?
No, sir.
Did you see it there?
No, sir.
And my God shall meet all of your needs according to what's happening in February, March, and the rest of the year. But January, tough luck, guys. Did you see that there?
No.
You didn't see that there, right? Why? Because God's word is independent of circumstances. Yeah. It's only you who believes January is something to be considered. It's only you. It's only you who has accepted that January I must suffer. January there must not be meat in the house. God forbid. Huh? It's only you. With that January, we can't do full tanks in January. We just put enough to get to work and come back. I thank God I'm not on social media, so no one can say, Pastor, you're seeing my statuses. I see nobody. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to show you, that don't assume you have faith. Be humble today and say that I need to learn this thing, how it works. I need to learn it. I need to. Yeah. I need to learn it. I need to learn it. Hallelujah. Yeah. I need to learn. Is there somebody who's going to learn how faith works? Yeah. We learned how to drive cars. We didn't assume driving. We learned how to, we put in effort. We learned how to do our makeups and all that. Let's sit down and take time to learn how faith works. One sermon is not going to cut it. We put recommended books for the month. Sit down and read. You won't read? Congratulations. My people perish. You will perish. I'm not cursing you, but you perish because of lack of knowledge. Not because the devil is stronger. You see, if you listen to me, if I give you a car that you don't know how it operates, can it work for you? You'll be using Uber, yet you've got a vehicle that can work. Hello? Faith can move mountains. Faith can change any circumstance. Faith can reverse the irreversible. Faith can extend deadlines. Faith can remove deadlines. Faith can cause you to inherit substance. Faith can cause you to be healed of anything. You understand what I'm saying to you? But you don't know how faith works. You are stuck and stranded because you just do not know how it works. Okay? So that's what I'm saying. Building faith that works. Get the book. Okay? Get the book so that you know how faith works. How faith works. Amen. So now let's begin to look at today. So primarily, faith, faith is believed in the heart, right? If it's not in the heart, forget, it's not going to work. Whatever you do, whatever you say, it's not going to work. So the heart is the engine room of faith, right? Then the next thing, so if your faith is to work, it must have three key components. It must be in your heart. It's revealed by your words, demonstrated by your works, right? So today I want to spend time on words, okay? I want to spend time on words, okay? So faith is released by words. And it's amazing how many Christians are careless with their words or careless of their words. Yeah. We don't value words. That's why we don't even value God's word. You see, God cannot lie. Say, God cannot lie.
God cannot lie.
Yeah. God cannot lie. Now, if you don't take your word seriously, you also think that God does not take his word seriously. You condition yourself. When you are always in the habit of saying, I'll be there at 10 o'clock, yet you know you'll be there at 2 o'clock, you are, what it's doing is that it's conditioning your mind that even if God says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, it does not mean it. That's why if you are to walk by faith purely, you are going to start, number one, to take your words seriously. Okay? Tell your neighbor, say, take your words seriously. Yeah. Don't joke around with your words. Okay? Don't joke around with your words. All right? Hebrews chapter 11, verses 3 tells us that by faith we understand that the world was framed by the words of God. We talked about it sometime, katatizo. Right? Your words are framing your world. Say, my words are framing my world. So that is to say, the life you are living, quality of life, quantity of life, is at the mercy of your words, not the devil. Sure. You know, get the devil out of your... He is not... The devil is the least of your problems. Tell your neighbor, say, the devil is the least of your problems. Yeah. What are you doing with your mouth? You are framing your world. Now, if in your world you are poor, it's because you framed a poor world. By faith, we understand that God framed this world with his words, giving us an example that we will also frame our lives by our words. If your marriage sucks, it's because you are framing it with words of psychology. If your life is going nowhere, it's because you are framing it with the words of going nowhere. If you are broke, you are framing your world with broke words. Yeah, it's not the economy. This economy is not South Africa. South Africa is too rich. It's too nice. Yes, sir. One of the richest houses, the most expensive houses in Africa is here in Cape Town. You understand? Right here in Cape Town. So you notice that it's not like Cape Town is a problem. It's just your version of Cape Town is the problem. Okay? Your version of Cape Town. It's not that, oh, pastor, you know, at my age, you know, it's not your age that's the problem. Because there's others your age who are doing other things. Okay? So, pastor, what is the issue? It's the words you are using to frame your world. And your world will be at the mercy of what you say. Let's go. Mark chapter 11. Most Christians joke with their words a lot. Most Christians curse themselves. Do you know that if you speak in a certain way, you know, it's tough. What can we do? Do you know that at that moment the devil leaves you because he knows on your own you are a devil to yourself? That you yourself are a devil. He now leaves you. He goes to other people. You understand? Yeah, because once you can speak negative about yourself, you don't need anyone to finish you. You are finished. Yeah. Yeah. Your words are used to identify you in the realm of the spirit. Where are you spiritually? Are you a spiritual baby? Are you healthy spiritually? Are you sick spiritually? Does that make sense? Hallelujah. Amen. Mark chapter 11 verses 14. In response, you remember Jesus was passing by. He saw the fig tree. And he wanted some fig. And then Jesus Christ comes and there was no fig. Then he says to it, he responded and said, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. And the disciples heard it. Everything Jesus did was to give us an example of what to do. So Jesus finds an unfruitful circumstance. He responded. Well, now you are waking up to an unfruitful bank balance. You keep quiet. You keep quiet. What do they say these days? You need to update me what do they say? Kunzima, it's tough. They're cleaning their accounts. They're clean, 0-0. Yeah. Yeah. Current balance is 0-0, right? Yeah. But what's your response? Ask your neighbor, what's your response? You see, Jesus didn't just say, shame, this fig tree. Oh, man, don't worry about it. No. He was like, let no man ever... You need to tell your bank account, if you try this again, I will close you. You, I will close. Do it one more time, you'll see something. Tell your neighbor, say, you must respond. Yeah. You see, the Bible says, and Jesus, he answered it. Your life is asking you questions. What's your response? Yeah. What's your response? What's your response? Can I tell you something? You don't have a cancer problem. You've got a faith problem. You don't have a financial problem. You've got a faith problem. You don't have a favor problem. You've got a faith problem. Because if you can believe, all things are possible. And if you can have faith, faith can destroy cancer. Can I shock you? You do not need any more faith to deal with cancer as you need to deal with a cold. You don't. Say, I do not need any more faith.
I do not need any more faith
to deal with cancer than to deal with the flu. Wow. So what is the issue? Do you know why it's easy for you to pray for yourself and the flu cause? And then when you hear cancer, you're like, oh, pastor, pray for us. Do you know why? Because you believe that in Jesus' name, flu is nothing. But you have heard so much information about cancer that you feel like cancer is something. So the issue at that point is not faith, is fear. The same way faith comes by hearing, fear comes by what you hear. And as Abazalwana, is it not amazing that we subscribe to all these TV channels for them to pump fear into our hearts? Yeah. You are the one, is it not you who created the account? So that they can tell you that there's a new virus. It's you. It's you. It's like, for example, God comes to Abraham and says, Abraham, you shall be a father of nations, right? Amen, right?
Hallelujah.
Thank God there was no Google. If there was Google like you, do you know what you have done? You would have gone online. Is there any man, is there any man who ever gave birth? Whoever had a child at 100? What is the longest that a woman ever gave birth? Was it 50, 60? Now God is saying at 90. What is this? Okay? Now Sarah has suffered menopause for decades, right? And then Abraham would come to God and say, God, are you serious about what you said? So most of us, we fill our hearts with unbelief and we question God.
Sure.
Come on now.
Sure.
You see where the problem is?
Yes.
God tells you, this year I'll make you a millionaire. Yes. And do you know what you do? You go online. How to be a millionaire in 11 months. Huh? Then you come up with an article or a TikTok video that says, it's impossible to be a millionaire in 11 months. And then now you come and you say, Pastor, is it God? Are you really serious? Are you sure?
Sure.
In this economy.
Sure.
In this economy.
Yeah.
So you see, the devil's nowhere involved there.
Yeah.
It's you and unbelief. Someone say unbelief.
Unbelief.
I'll deal with unbelief, the dangers of unbelief at the end of the month, right? But let's just go. Our words. Someone say our words.
Our words.
So Jesus responded, and now if we go to verses 21, they came back the following day, and the fig tree had withered. And when Peter remembered, he said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Other versions say, have the God kind of faith. And I've told you before that you have exactly the same kind of faith.
Yes. Amen.
You have the same kind of faith. You don't have an inferior faith. You don't have a lesser faith. Romans chapter 12, verses 3. He has given us the same measure of
faith.
The life I now live, Galatians 2:20. I now live by the faith of the Son of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1. To those who have received like precious faith. So we have received the same kind of faith. Okay, we have the same kind of faith that the apostles had. We have the same kind of faith that Jesus had. Okay, so I have the same kind of faith.
I have the same kind of faith.
Now, if I have the same kind of faith, why am I not getting the same kind of results? It's because you do not value your words. That is why. You don't value your words. You speak anyhow. You speak anywhere. And Jesus says to them, if you have this faith, right? I say to you assuredly, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, right? But believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says, Right? Therefore, I say to you, whatsoever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you'll have them. So Jesus gives us a raw explanation of faith, of how faith works. Right? Of how faith works. So how does faith work? I believe in my heart what I say with my mouth. Okay? And I will have whatsoever I say. So whether I say it in prayer or I say it in conversation, I will have whatsoever I say. Now, if you noticed here, Jesus said, say three times. If you believe, you shall have whatsoever you say three times, right? And then he only said once, when you pray, you shall have whatsoever you say in prayer. That is to say, we talk three times as much as we pray. True or not true? I mean, you have your quiet time is 1 hour a day. Yeah? Lord, I am praying for this job, whatever it is that you're praying for, right? But you spend the rest of the day talking. And Jesus is bringing to our attention that though we are always releasing faith or negating faith by what we say.
Yes, sir.
Now, if you remember, Jesus was speaking to the fig tree. He was not praying for the fig tree. So faith is released by the words that you say. Say, faith is released by the words that I say.
Faith is released by the words that I say.
Okay, so what are you saying? That then is the question. So what then are you saying? What you say is telling us what is in your heart. The victory that you require is no longer in heaven. It's now in your mouth. I showed you last week, do not say Jesus must come down. I showed you last week, what does the righteousness which is of faith say? It says the word is nigh even in your mouth. Okay? So the miracle is not in heaven. Say it's not in heaven.
It's not in heaven.
Touch somebody, say it's not in heaven.
It's not in heaven.
It's in your mouth.
In your mouth.
Yeah. The testimony is in your mouth. The breakthrough is in your mouth. Makusha tarabahaya. So based on what you say, you draw it closer or you push it far away. 2024 can be your year if you want it to be your year. 2024 can also be not your year if you want it not to be your year. It's in your mouth, not in the calendar. Say it's my year.
It's my year.
I'm reigning in life.
I'm reigning in life.
Yeah. This is my year. This is my year. This is my year. This is my year. I remember, is it 2021 when the year was beginning? Because you remember it was COVID days, right? I remember my mind was struggling and God was saying that, oh, this is your year. This is your year. You're advancing and enlarging, whatever. And my mind was struggling to catch it. And then I got this song by this guy. Not that one. It is a beautiful year for me, Israel Strong. And God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, more than my desire. I listened to that song over 1,000 times. Because I was like, I need to get the right words in my mouth. It is a beautiful year for me. I don't know about you, but for me it is a beautiful year. You understand? For me it's a beautiful year. For me, it's a beautiful year. For my family, it's a beautiful year. And there you are quiet. You have your mouth and you are quiet. Someone said the
victory
is in my words.
In my words.
Luke chapter 6, verse 43 to 45. Okay? Luke chapter 6, verse 43 to 45. Jesus tells us something here. He says, for a good tree does not bear bad fruit. A good tree doesn't give birth to bad fruit.
Yes, sir.
Ne?
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. So a Christian who should be a good tree must not give birth to bad fruit. Ne? So umzalwane must not be coming and saying that, yo, things are tough. Hey, I don't know what to do. Oh, I'm helpless. Oh, I'm confused. No. A child of God must not speak like that. For every tree is known by its own fruits. So in the realm of the spirit, we know you by your fruits. Okay? We don't know you by what you pretend to be. We know you in the realm of the spirit. We know you by the fruits. I'm not sure how old you guys are. But I grew up in a time when I can still remember my grandmother or something had artificial fruits. You remember that?
Yes.
That artificial fruit, the plastic banana and whatnot. And I used to go and, you remember that?
Yes,
yeah, in the realm of the spirit, it doesn't work. It doesn't. In the realm of the spirit, you don't fake it until you make it. No. Plastics don't work here. Yeah, plastic faith doesn't work here.
Yes, sir.
You don't act like you have faith because the devil quickly showed that you don't have faith.
Yes, Pastor.
Hallelujah. Yeah. For men do not gather figs from thorns, nor do they gather grapes from a bamboo bush. In other words, we don't look for avocados from an apple tree. You understand? We don't look for avocados from an apple tree. All right? But a good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, out of the good treasure of his
heart,
of your heart, he brings forth good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, brings forth evil. Now look, for out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're always complaining, it means you have a complaining heart. It's not a good heart. It means you've got bad treasure, evil treasure. Jesus calls it treasure, but it's evil treasure. If you're always murmuring, you have an evil heart. And so when you speak, listen to me. You will only speak what you are full of. Bring me a pot of water. Bring me a pot of water. You only speak what you are. Tell your neighbor, say, you only speak what you are full of. That's why other people only speak nonsense. That's what they are full of. Hallelujah. When other people speak, they only speak fear. That's what they are full of. You understand what I'm saying to you? And fear is fear no matter how heavily articulated it is. Yeah. I remember there was a time when I was watching, you know, I want to be an informed pastor, right? I want to be what? So I'm going to watch news, right? And I'm going to watch news every day so that I'm up to date with what's happening. Man, did I not watch ENCA and whatever. Now, by the end of that week, I was so afraid because it's like every corner there was a shooting. Every corner there was someone being killed. It's like there was just so many problems. I went before God and I was like, God, it's too much evil in this world. And God was like, who asked you to watch the news? I was like, good point, eh? Very good point. Yeah. That's what he asked me. Who asked you to watch the news? Yeah. You are busy pumping the sewage of fear into you. And you wonder why you smell like them. Why you're afraid like them. Okay? When challenges come, you see this bottle? When we press it, what comes out? Because it's full of? That's when you speak, we see what you are full of. Even if you say, I'm joking. We know what you're full of. We know what you're full of. Look at your neighbor and say, now I know what you're full of. Yeah. Yeah, I know you post verses and status, but you see, the last thing I want you for you this year is for you to have verses on your Instagram, but no verse in your heart. Because it didn't say out of the treasure of your social media. It says out of the treasure of your heart. Some of you, your WhatsApp is more scripture than your heart. That's why no devil can come on you on your WhatsApp, but... afterwards, my God, it says out of the treasure. What treasure do you have in your heart? What treasure do you have in your heart? Okay, you can have good treasure or negative treasure, right? And the Bible tells us that the word of God is the best treasure. David says, I have hid your word in my heart. Your word is a treasure. But Salone, we don't hide, you know, we don't hide useless things. We hide our jewelry. Come on now. Yeah. If you've got a safe in your house, and if you don't have a safe in your house, what's wrong with you? Huh? We hide our valuables. Am I in the right church? Am I in the right church? Yeah. Hello? When you don't get a safe deposit box for your house, for your flat, just to hide, to put a rooibos tea bags there. Come on now. Right? But you put precious things there, right? Maybe you put some euros, some US dollars, some diamonds, some gold. You understand? You hide what is precious. And David says, I have hid your word in my heart. Meaning the word is the most precious treasure you can ever have. So then you take the word and you hide it in your heart. And how do you hide the word in your heart? I told you last week. How? You write it by your Well, so when you speak out the scriptures, when you are declaring the word and you are reading it out loud, you are hiding it in your heart. It's called meditation some other times. Okay, so you hide scripture via meditation. Okay? Via
meditation.
All right. So you now must put good trust. So that is why, Bazalwane, sometimes life happens, ne? Just only to prove what's in your heart. Just only to prove what's in your heart. Hey, some Christians are very negative. Hey, they're very negative. And it's something else to preach, to speak faith on the pulpit. But you, afterwards you speak doubt. You understand? Afterwards you speak doubt. And listen to me, this can happen to anybody. If you don't take time to hide the word in your heart, you'll be so full of doubt you won't even believe it. Yeah. You'll be meditating on your problems, always complaining, always murmuring. Ask your neighbor that, why are you always like this? Always complaining. Always naked. It, you know, Barcelona, it's showing us what is in your heart. And now if you only always have complaints, you can't believe. It's impossible to have faith. Yeah, it's impossible to have faith. Yeah, no, me, I don't trust men. That's what you... Yeah, people are... You know, all those kind of statements, it's, but you're like, Pastor, but I'm saying what the truth. It's an evil treasure. Yeah, it's an evil treasure.
Yes, Pastor.
As a child of God, as a Christian, there's not one person you should hate. There's not one person you should have. I have not found one allowance in the Bible about hating anyone. Yeah. In fact, if you have enemies, the Bible says pray for them. In fact, if at work they've been spitefully using you, the Bible says pray for those who spitefully use you. Yeah, it didn't say many of the things that we add to our own version of scripture. Hallelujah. Amen. I can love you from afar. I can love you from I can love you and we don't talk. You understand? But I'm obligated to love you. Does that make sense?
Amen.
All right now. All right now. So you must always make sure that what is in your heart. You see? That's why then the Bible says love is then the greatest. Because love is not jealous. Love keeps no record of wrong. Love does not boast. Love is not envious. Come on now.
Yes,
1 Corinthians 13, right?
Yes.
Love is kind. Love is patient. You understand what I'm saying to you? Say I'm kind.
I am kind.
Say I'm patient.
I am patient.
Say I'm not envious.
I am not.
Say I'm not full of jealousy.
Yes.
Yeah. But if you always have negative reports to say about people, then you are a liar. You are deceiving yourself. Yeah. Where are you getting those words from? Where are you getting those words from? You see, you might say Ramaphosa is wicked. You know, as wicked as he is, there are good things about Ramaphosa. You only see what you choose to see.
Yeah.
The reason why some of us see only wickedness is because of the wickedness in our hearts.
Yeah.
Titus said, to the pure, all things are pure. And to the unrighteous, all things are unrighteous. When you struggle, let's say for example, you are a single person and you struggle with a particular habit, you always think that everybody is struggling with the same.
Yeah.
True or not true?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because you are viewing life with your eyes.
Yeah.
Not everyone is doing what you are doing. We have left that realm. And all these people, they are pretending. You are the one who's a pretender.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed when a pretender is speaking? Huh? A pretender? Or maybe in a church set up like this, when a pretender is speaking, have you ever noticed it?
Yes.
They come and say, Pastor, people are not happy. Ask them, which people?
Which
huh? One? Huh? Which?
Which
one? No. People are just not happy, Pastor. They generalize. I'm telling you, listen to me. When you listen to such a person, you have found evil treasure.
Sure.
That the heart is full of evil things or full of wrong things. And doesn't mean stay like that. You can replace the evil treasure with the word of God. And you fill up with the word of God until the only thing that comes out of you is the good treasure of the word of God. Say, I want the good treasure of the word of God. So be careful of what you say. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is speaking. Your mouth is speaking. You know, if you're always speaking negative about your spouse, it's because you're always thinking negative about them. Yeah. You're always thinking negative about them. Yeah. I remember sometime I was with Prophet Rams and with our First Lady, and Prophet Rams said to us, we shouldn't even joke with bad examples. In other words, change the treasure you have in your heart about your spouse. Yeah. Yeah. Is it not amazing that at work your spouse can be maybe the manager of the year or whatever, but then you come and you reduce them? Taibo, who's banana? I know my person. They're just be careful of people with a reduction mentality. Who can never appreciate you on the grace that God has given you? Be alert and be aware of people. Now that you're the CEO of TFG, they still want to call you with your nickname in preschool. But you're the CEO now. Come on now. Be careful now. Huh? It's not like they're being friendly. They're familiar. Be careful now. Yeah, they'll never embrace the new you now. Yeah. You can't be, now you're married, you have a husband, you have a wife, you have children. They'll still call you, Maloloza, right? Huh? In front of your kids, Nohal. They call you with your most mischievous. Do you know what they're trying to show? They're trying to show everybody that you might know this person as this, but I know him. He's not that.
Yeah.
Delete their numbers. I said, delete their numbers. Yeah. Because no matter what you do, you can never be good enough for such people. Okay? Yeah, you can never be good enough for such people. Does it make sense? Yeah, so don't try that. Oh, no, we grew up for old time's sake. We are not going back. We're not going to the past. Yeah, peace be still. Peace be still. Oh, you don't like my message?
I love it!
Yeah, Jesus went to his church, where he grew up. They said, Haibo, where did you get all this? Are you not Joseph's son? Is Mary your mother not here? Are your brother? Haibo, you grew up in front of... Hey. You understand? Where did you get this? Does that make sense? And Jesus never returned. Yeah, he left Omtase, he left Omkaya, because the Bible says he was amazed at their unbelief. You are shocked that these guys can't receive from me. He left them. He never went back again. He rather got to Capernaum. He rather, where he did most of his miracles. Yes, go where you are celebrated, not tolerated. Go where you are celebrated, not tolerated. Yeah. That guy who only texts you when it's cold, tolerates you. Hallelujah. Yeah. At least I told you when it's summer, so you... so you know what to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Be careful of what your heart is full of. All right? Be what? Be careful of what your heart is full of. Don't have a heart that's full of all kinds of evil treasure. Because you're going to say it. And when you're saying it, you know what we're hearing? Your faith or your lack of faith. That's what we hear. All right? So now let's continue. Are you still blessed?
Yes, Pastor.
So now there's a word I want us to look at in the... We know it amongst Christian circles. It's called confession. Someone say confession.
Confession.
Now, when I say confession, what comes to your mind? Sins. Yeah. Mistakes. You know, because I have to confess to a priest. You understand? Someone is planning to confess after service. Like, oh, Mfundis, forgive us for what you have done.
December.
Hallelujah. Hey, December. You know, those of you who put your Christianity on hold in December, what if Jesus Christ comes in December? Huh? What if rapture happens in December when you're on pause? Like all other service providers, you're on pause and... My first kiss of the year. Jesus comes. Well, at least you're kissing a stranger. Say, not my portion. All right. So, what is confession? So, most Christians are used with the term confession when it comes to sin. We must confess our sins, right? We must confess. The Bible says it in 1 John chapter 1, that if you confess your sins, it's faithful and just to forgive, right? And then the Bible also comes as confess your sins one to another. Now, that verse that says confess your sins one to another, it does not mean you come and you tell me the wrong that you have done. It means that if you have done something that offended me or upset me, you should tell me.
Okay, or I should tell you, yes, when you did 1, 2, 3, it affected me,
yes,
right? And I'm sorry, maybe I also did 5, 6 things against you.
Yes, Pastor.
That's what it means.
Okay.
It means an acknowledgement of wrong between abazalwane.
Yes, Pastor.
Therefore, the gospel of exposure is unbiblical. I don't care who you're exposing, it's extra biblical. Because love covers, it does not uncover. Love covers a multitude of sin. Hallelujah. And the Bible said, who are you to judge another man's servant? Because before the Lord, before his master, he rises and he falls. Hallelujah. This year, come out of believing everything that's posted on social media. Yeah. Come out. Come out. You understand what I'm saying to you? Just come out. Yeah. Really, all these men of God, they are coming for you. Strike the shepherd. We want the sheep. They are coming for you. I kid you not. They are coming for you. And you who celebrates others. Listen to me. Even if any man of God or woman of God falls, right? Their fault does not make you more righteous. Yeah, we stop wanting to look better because of other people falling. Yeah, you want to seem like you're the only one who's standing. The only one in the Bible given the title of accuser is the devil.
Yeah.
Listen to me. Listen to me. Are you listening to me? I don't care who you accuse. You have joined the devil. I don't care. In my eyes, you are a devil. I don't care who you accuse. You understand? If I go online and I see there's an accuser, even the people you think are false men of God, leave them alone. Leave them alone. You who's struggling to make your faith work, how?
Please.
All of a sudden. Huh?
Huh?
All of a sudden. You now know who's it. Listen to me. Listen to me. If you find it in the Bible where it says you can expose any Christian, come show me. Yeah, if you find it. The Bible says love covers a multitude of sin.
Yeah.
But no, but Pastor, if they do wrong, what should we do? What is that to you? Unkenapi? That's the Hebrew word I'm looking for. Okay. Yeah. So do not love other people's matters. Yeah, and can I tell you something?
Yeah.
If the devil has not accused you, it's because you are walking in the same direction. Yeah. Oppose him and you'll see that at work they'll accuse you. Just try it. Just try it just for 1 week and say that I want to live for God. The Bible says those who live for Jesus will suffer persecution. Just try it at work to say that I'm a child of God. Before the week is over, they'll have accused you. Say, I will not accuse any man of God.
Yeah. Man of God.
Rather use your voice to defend. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah, rather use your voice to defend. Oh, but Pastor, what if we defend it? It comes out as true. Just defend. True or not is not your realm. Yeah, just defend. Just defend. Just defend. Ah, Pastor, did you hear about this? About don't bring such to me. Don't bring such to me. And can I also say something?
Yes, sir.
This year, if someone writes an article about me, leave them. Huh? Please, don't bring it to me. Okay, I'm not on any social media. I'm not on WhatsApp. I'm not on anything. So that I don't get sewage pumped into me.
Yeah.
If they say that Pastor Mto is APCT, I know myself better than anyone knows me. Yeah. So there's no, what are you exposing? I have deeper things to expose about me. Mina self, I can show you. I can expose some things that
that's
you're like, Pastor Mto. Talk about conversion at this point. Does that make sense? Today, never said, thou shalt not accuse any Christian. Yeah. I don't care who they are. They don't have to come to our church. You shall not be an accuser. Don't accuse anybody. Don't accuse any man of God. Don't share any video of anybody being accused. Once you see that it's a documentary about a man of God, leave it alone. Pastor, did you see the mafia one? First build your faith, we can talk. Yeah. First build your faith, we can talk. First build your faith. No, but pastor, there's no way. If 10 people can say this, it means it's true. Don't you know that Jesus was accused by liars? They came out with evidence of lies. You know, 1 million people can lie against a person. It means nothing. The number of liars, the witnesses, it means nothing. Yeah. No matter how convincing. No matter how convinced, they can speak and cry. Oh, no, brother, leave it alone. Just, especially if they're crying, just, you know, this. Yeah. Are we together? I don't know how we got there, but just keep that one. Confession. It doesn't make sense. Yeah. And I'm not going to use Muslims, that Muslims don't defend them. No, Bazalwane, let's start being biblical Christians. Show me in the Bible where it says you can accuse anybody, where you can expose someone online. Show me, I will buy you lunch. I will buy you whatever it is that you need. Show me. You can't. You'll find that love covers. You'll find Jesus will say, go and sin no more. Yeah. When it's amazing. I always say this. You'll be surprised who you will find in heaven, who you thought was not going to make it. Who you will not find in heaven, who you thought will make it. And above all, you'll be surprised to find yourself in heaven. Yeah. Because when you tell the truth, you know that Mfundis really was saved by grace. Yes. We are saved by grace. Hallelujah. Yeah. So this year, be your brother's keeper. Okay, just because another church down the street is being accused does not mean defend them. It's like, at least in our church, we have better systems. Shut up, you don't know what you're talking about. When they're done there, they're coming here with your better systems. So just be a brother's keeper. I don't know how many people I've met, and they'll come say, you know, pastor, and I say, you don't have to tell me anything. You don't. I'm not a priest. Don't confess nothing here. Yeah, Jesus loves you. There's a future for you. Can you receive? Yes, go your way in Jesus' name. Yeah, you're not here to tell me, you know, I messed up. I'm not interested in that. Yeah, I'm not interested in that. You know, they say that so that I have plausible deniability. Yeah, I did not know. Me, he never told me that. And I'm telling the truth. He never told me. People are not people. Yeah. Yeah. And can I also tell you why you should not confess your issues to people?
Why, Pastor?
You see, when you make a mistake,
yes, Pastor.
Tell God, God will forgive you, and you'll forget about it.
Yes,
people do not forget your sins. Yeah. People don't forget your sins. People don't forget your mistakes. Yeah. If you go to the high school you studied in, they'll say, that's the one who broke that window. Ha. Huh? 20 years later, I'm still known by I broke a window. What is this? Yeah. Hello?
Yes.
If you have made, the Bible says if we have made a sin, we should confess, he will forgive us.
Yes.
So why are you telling your issues to people who can't forgive you? Yes. Why are you telling your issues to people who don't have the blood to wash you? We love human beings so much. Am I saying that then you should continue sinning? And no, there's a need for community and accountability. Totally different story, right? But if you have made a sin, made a mistake, Lord, forgive me. He's faithful. He'll forgive you. And that's the end of the story. And don't go fishing for your sins. Don't go taking them out of the blood, under the blood. Are we good? So that's the first confession. Now, there is what I want to call your faith confession or your positive confession, right? That is the words that you speak should be faith-filled, okay, which is what we're going to be focusing the rest. Then the third one is a negative confession, all right? So when you have your faith confession, it builds your faith up. What is a faith confession? You are confessing what the Word of God says. You are confessing who you are in Christ. You are confessing what God has done for you. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I cannot be poor. You understand what I'm saying? I am a new creation. That is, you are confessing based on the Word of God. He has said, you'll never leave me nor forsake me. Therefore, the Lord is my helper. I shall not be afraid of what men shall. When you confess like that, it builds your faith. And your life cannot go beyond your confession. Okay? Your life cannot go beyond what you say. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now,
so then there's the negative confession. Oh, I'm a sinner. Oh, you know, everything is bad. You confess sin. When you confess that, it brings weakness to your spirit. It builds an inability for you to exercise faith. You understand what I'm saying to you? So we confess that, oh, we are nothing. No, never say I'm nothing. Listen to me, you are something. You are a new creation. I said you are a new creation. You are the light of the world. Yeah, say I'm something. You are a chosen generation. Yeah. Yeah, no, that no, you know, as we are nothing. No, no, no. When I got born again, I was nothing before I was born again. But when I got born again, I became something. I became a new creation. I became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You understand? I became the head and not the tail. Is somebody hearing what I'm saying to you? I became above only, not beneath.
Amen.
Yeah, so don't speak negative. Tell your neighbor, say, don't speak negative. Yeah, don't speak negative about yourself. And I know sometimes you think, Pastor, I'm telling the truth. Hey, I'm telling the truth. Listen to me. You're not telling the truth. You're telling your facts or your feelings. Your facts, your feelings. When you're telling the truth, the word of God is truth.
Amen.
So if you're telling me the truth, you'll tell me what the Bible says.
Amen.
Now, don't just say what the Bible says and it's not based, you don't believe it in your heart. Because that's where most Christians become clowns. Because we say what scripture says, but we don't believe it in our heart. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But you don't believe it in your heart. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah. And then the worst type of confession is what I call a dual confession. You know what is a dual confession? One day you wake up and you say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Then the next day you say that I'm a sinner. So what are you? That dual confession. Say, I'm the righteousness of God.
I'm the righteousness
of God. So, Pastor, are we not sinners? If you are a sinner here today, I'll do an altar call. You'll give your life to Jesus. You will become born again.
Amen.
You'll become a child of God. At that moment, you are no longer a sinner.
Amen. Amen.
But, Pastor, what if I still do? It's because you are doing things out of ignorance of who you are. Gospel is sweet, Bazalan. Don't complicate it. Humanism, like, no, no, we are all sinners here. It's only in heaven we'll be righteous. Was Jesus sinful on earth?
No.
Was Jesus sinful on earth?
No.
So, do we have the life of Jesus?
Yes.
Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world?
Yes.
Now, what makes you think that then we'll be righteous only in heaven? Can I tell you something?
Hello.
If you think you'll be righteous in heaven, you won't make it to heaven. Because the Bible says those who have this hope purify themselves here. If when you're planning to be righteous and holy in heaven, I've got news for you. You will not make it to heaven. You must leave heaven on earth now.
Amen.
Hello? Ah, Pastor, but everyone sins. No, 1 John chapter 3. He who sins is of the devil. 1 John chapter 3. He who sins is of the wicked one. So if you are sinning, you are saying, I'm not yet born again. Because if you read 1 John, it will tell you that those who are born of God cannot sin. Say, I cannot sin.
I cannot sin.
Oh, this is the good news.
Say, I cannot sin.
I cannot
sin. It's impossible for me to sin.
It's impossible for me.
Because I'm the righteousness of God.
I am the righteousness of God.
I walk by faith in the Spirit. So you are not a sinner. Now when you confess, some days I'm a sinner, some days, you understand what I'm saying to you? That does more damage to you spiritually than anything else. Okay? So you need to only have one confession. Say one confession.
One confession.
That is your faith-filled confession. That is your word-based confession. I speak only what the word of God says. I stay with what the word of God says, regardless of what the circumstances are saying. You understand what I'm saying to you? Yeah. And is it not amazing that I'm preaching a gospel like this and some of us are feeling like, no, Pastor, this is too good to be true. That's why it's called good news. We were sinners before Jesus died for us on the cross. When we accepted it, we became the righteousness of God. I am the righteousness of God. Say, I'm the righteousness of God.
I pray that you have been transformed by the powerful message. Thank you for tuning in to the Pastum Tour podcast. Shalom.